the Huntington Way Show, where we help parents navigate the educational maze. I'm your host, Yvonne Strawn, author and founder of InspirationalHomeschooling.com, and I am here with Barb West. She has served on the Global Home Education Exchange, but she also has such a great passion for homeschooling families. She has served with homeschool groups across the nation and abroad and support groups for homeschool moms. She hosts and manages a Facebook page for homeschooling here in Colorado. And she has started the Colorado Homeschool Sports League. So we are gonna talk about sports in your homeschool today. You're listening on Power Talk 1040 AM, 98.5 FM, and 95.7 FM. Please like and subscribe to Power Talk 1040 on YouTube. Welcome to the show, Barb.
Thank you, Yvonne. This is gonna be like having coffee with a friend.
Oh, it's so great to have you here. Oh, I am curious, what has grown your passion for sports?
Well, sports has always been a part of my life. My dad was a semi-pro baseball player. He always had us out there catching, throwing, batting, so I developed some pretty good eye-to-hand coordination. I was active in sports at school. When my husband and I were contemplating getting married, he shared, quote, "When I think of the future, you're in it. There's just one problem, you don't ski." He was looking at the future when we had a family, and he wanted us to all ski together. So he taught me to ski, and we are avid skiers today. So I have just always enjoyed sports.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and I know I see you skiing all the time during the winter time. How long has the Colorado Homeschool Sports League been serving our homeschool families?
Okay, well, the Colorado Springs Homeschool Sports League, and we call that CSHSL, has been serving families since 2014. There was a homeschool mom, Paula Randall, actually she was a grandma, and she planted the seed for sports in the homeschool community by setting up a few weeks of homeschoolers gathering to play soccer. So my family had recently relocated to Colorado Springs while my husband was in Afghanistan. I was craving adult conversation. I still had three kids at home, two had already graduated, and I just thought, I want to talk to some moms. I just want to have some conversation. So I signed my three kids that I still had at home up for soccer and looking forward to meeting other moms and getting connected to the community. And so I received the roster, the soccer roster, and at the bottom it said, Coach Barbara West. And I thought, no way. So I called Paula and I said, hey, I didn't sign up to coach. And she goes, well, you have three children on the team, so by default, you're the coach. So ha, I was going to be the coach. So after a few more runs at organizing soccer with Paula, a few other volunteers helped to launch and frame the Homeschool Sports League idea. So we came up with a name, Colorado Springs Homeschool Sports League, formed a board, and filed to become a 501c3.
Oh, I didn't know you guys were a 501c3, so people can donate and help to fund the sports for the kids. Oh, I love that. So being that people can donate, where can they donate?
You can go to cshsl.org if you need more information. Info, if you want to email us, info@cshsl.org with questions. We also have a Facebook page, Colorado Springs Homeschool Sports League. And if you go to our website, you can input your email address and you'll get the monthly newsletter. So whenever we have something ongoing, like right now it's swim team, they can go there and there's a hot link for swim team. And when we have soccer and flag football, there'll be a hot link. Basketball, volleyball, track and field, all those things will be in there. There's a hot link and you can just sign up for the sports that you would like your child to play.
There sounds like there's a lot of sports that are available to the kids.
We have about six. We try to keep it going. They only run for 6 weeks and we try not to overlap. So while one sport is going on, that's the only thing happening other than soccer, flag football. Those happen on the same day but at different times but in the same location. So you can play soccer and then have a 15-minute break and then roll into flag football. But the sports don't overlap. So when soccer, flag football ends, we take a break over the holidays in the fall, and then basketball starts and we start the whole year again.
Oh, so you were talking about three of your kids, they went into soccer, you were the coach.
Yes.
So is that still kind of similar to the way you run the sports league today involving families? Like, do the kids all go into one sport together, or how does that work?
We have age groups, so okay. The children might all be playing soccer, but the three-year-old is not going to be with the five-year-old. So for soccer, it's 3 and 4, 5 and 6, 7 to 9, 10 to 12, and then 13 and older are all on a team. And it's co-ed, boys and girls together. I know that some parents are like, whoa, I know the first time I did, I'm like, oh, I don't want my girls playing with the boys. But it actually works out fine. With the teens, they dial it back a little bit when the boys are playing with the girls. When it's boys up against boys, they rev it up again. It's nice. If you want to coach, then your registration fee is waived. And there are a few other positions, like if you're field setup or if you're the equipment manager, different sports have different requirements, then your fee is waived. So yes, it's still volunteers, but we keep our fees low. All of our fees, nothing is over $100. So like soccer and flag football, both sports per family, not per child. So if you have three children, it would be $85 for all three to play. If you have nine children or 10 children, it's $85 for all your children to play. Now you still have to get them balls and shin guards or mouth guards. We have a league t-shirt, and that is our uniform, and those are $10. So there are some other things. We don't want to price anybody out. And so if they really can't afford it, we have a benevolent fund that would cover their costs.
Wow, that's really sweet, because then you have just a big heart for incorporating the sports into the homeschooling, and parents get to be involved. Now, do parents usually stay when
yes.
kids are?
We are not a drop-off program. Okay. We still have the parents stay, and they usually want to stay because they want to watch. They want to see what's happening because it's not a lot of practice. We usually do our practice first for, depending on the sport, an hour, 45 minutes, and then we have our games. Everything is within the league, so none of the teams come from outside the league. So like for teens, we have four teams of the 13 and older for soccer. And sometimes we have as many as 60 or 80 kids signed up. That's a lot of teenagers to work with. But every week with those teens, I change the teams around. The younger kids are assigned to one coach with one set of kids on a roster. But with the teens, they like to meet other people. And so I move them around, they get to know everybody, they have friends. We usually have an end of season party at my house where we will do pizzas or tacos or grill hot dogs and hamburgers. And the kids look forward to that. I have a foosball table, pool table, and they get together. We have some fire pits and they just have a good time. So the teens are a lot more social. And so we try to provide that outlet. We also have other sponsors that help us organize other things outside of the league that the teens can get together and get to know each other.
That's great, because then the teens can connect, the parents can connect, and you're bringing the homeschool families closer. So it's kind of like two missions in one. How has the league grown or changed over time?
Like I said, we started out, we were just kind of ragtag. We just met at different parks around the city because those were free. We could meet at a school, maybe use part of their big grassy field to set up our fields. We just used rebar to mark the corners. We didn't really have real fields or real goals. And that's how we started. And one week it might be at one park, and then the next week it might be across town. That part was hard. But now that we have funds and money, we have we rent facilities. Like we will rent Goose Gossage Sports Complex for soccer and flag football. We rent the Woodman Hills Rec Center for basketball in January, and now we rent the pool area for swim team. We will rent Play It Now Sports for volleyball. We're trying to get a contract going with one of the high schools here in town right now to do track and field. And so we will rent what we consider real facilities. So we're not so ragtag anymore. We try to be more official. We try to get the children to learn the rules, develop the skills, so that if they go on in life and play, they will know how to play the game.
Oh, that's great. So Barb, I love your heart in bringing the homeschool families together. I love your passion for sports and your passion for helping those kids connect. Thank you for sharing all of that. When we come back, we will delve deeper into how sports bolsters confidence, increases academic success, and enhances life skills that transfer into adult life. And Barb will answer the big question, can sports be included on a high school transcript? Welcome back to the Huntington Way Show. You are listening on Power Talk 1040 AM, 98.5 FM, and 95.7 FM. Please like and subscribe to Power Talk 1040 on YouTube. I'm your host, Yvonne Strawn, and I am here with Barb West. We are talking about sports in your homeschool. And she's going to answer the big question, how do you put sports on a high school transcript? Welcome back, Barb.
Thank you, Yvonne.
What are some surprising benefits to sports?
Okay, well, I looked up some statistics, and Project Play from the Aspen Institute states that physically active children are less likely to be obese, have higher test scores, experience less smoking, drug use, pregnancy, and risky sex, are more likely to go to college, have lower levels of depression and self-denigration, have higher self-esteem, higher annual earnings, and have lower health costs, and they are more productive at work. And that was from a study by Project Play from the Aspen Institute.
Yeah, that's a lot of great benefits for any child, really. So there's also characteristics that they can develop. So can you speak a little about those?
I can. So when they're learning to play a team sport, they have to get along with other people. They have to learn to trust other people. They have to learn their names. They have to communicate. They sometimes are not playing with all their exact same age groups, because some of our age groups span 2 or 3 years. And with the teens, it's from 13 to 18. And so you have a lot of different ability levels. You have a lot of different cognitive abilities going on. So they just learn to work. And I had a boy one time, and he was very challenged in a lot of ways. And he played with me for years, many, many seasons. The last season, he was finally able to run in the correct direction, and he was dribbling, and no one came up and stole the ball from him. They allowed him, they had very much grace and love and consideration for this young man, and they allowed him to dribble down the field. Now, if he was going the wrong way, his team would go and get him turned around the right way. But I was very encouraged to see that there was no name calling. They didn't push him out of the way and say, hey, I got it. They allowed him to practice and use his skills, and I really liked to see that. I felt like they had good sportsmanship. And when we do have our games, there are going to be winners and losers. The other day we were tied, they wanted to go into overtime, and I said, no, there's no winner or loser today, everybody's just equal. But they learn how to be a good loser and a good winner. Planning, flexibility, you know, what time they're going to get to the practice and the game, their confidence. And then I give them goals each week, things that we're working on, like with whatever the sport is. They have a focus, so that week they know what they're working on. So they learn all these attributes that they're going to use in real life, time management, all these things that they can use in the real world when they graduate.
Wow. Yeah, those are some great characteristics. I'm just wanting to circle around. You talked a little bit about this one that you know, would be running the wrong way and everything, but then it would just keep coming back year after year. And the character that the other kids just displayed and the love that they displayed. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, maybe some of the special needs and how they can incorporate sports in their homeschool? It sounds like you've been so welcoming to them.
Okay, well, I have some children that have some special needs, and I was told by the psychoanalytic tester that they would really not be able to play sports. And I just, what I could see was that really wasn't true. So I just went ahead and put them in sports, whether it was team sports or individual sports like tennis and skiing. And I noticed that they really could do these things, and they were really good. It wasn't that they just were on the field, they were really good. So I still have children that are challenged, and they're still part of the team. And part of that is that they show up every week, like you're talking about. The other part is that the other kids know that they're part of the team, that they're on the team, they have a position, they're gonna play that position. So I work with everybody, and I really love, I work with the older kids, the teens, because most people go, oh, I don't want the teens. And so I kind of ended up with them, and now I love them to death. But a lot of kids, as they get older, it's hard when you're a teenager. This year I have a 17 or 18 year old girl, it's her first time playing soccer, and making sure that she feels welcome and that she knows people and that she understands the game. I think that the coaches have a big part in that, and getting them more training and more clinics. That's one of my goals in this next year that I want to do.
I love that you do that, because I think that's one of the things that homeschool moms worry about is, well, my kids never played sports, or how do I get them to start it? And, you know, I've worried about some of those things with my kids, and my oldest has special needs as well. And so sometimes parents do have that anxiety about, you know, incorporating your children in some of these things like sports. So I really do appreciate that you have a heart for them and that you're welcoming and that it's very important to you to have the kids be very welcoming to them as well. Now, do you have advice for how to present sports on homeschool students' transcript?
I do. They should be annotated on your high schooler's transcript in two ways. There's the front of your transcript, which is where you're going to show the coursework and the grades. And that's the front of the transcript. And so if we can just go over that for just a minute. There are two things also that are annotated. You need to be thinking about, is your child going to graduate just from high school? Or are they going to graduate and go to college? Because those are two different requirements. To graduate from high school, they just need 1 year or one credit, a half a credit of PE. And if they go on to college, they're going to need more than that. So they need to, you need to know what they're going to need. So also, if they do a whole year of PE, it's just one half credit, 0.5 is what they would get. Even though they've done the whole year, two semesters, it's only a half a credit. And then if they, so if they do more than one thing, like say they do tennis and then do basketball and they do soccer, each one of those can be annotated as a different sport with a different grade. And then if they do it the whole year, they get a half a credit. Now the back side of the transcript, you're gonna flip it over, and this is where you're gonna say exactly what they're doing. And they, you're gonna list all their activities, their clubs, whatever teams they're on, competitions, awards, achievements, work experience, you can list back there, and then sports. And then on the team, if they were a leader on the team, if they are the captain or the co-captain, you can list all that on the back side of the transcript. And just as an aside here, when you flip that transcript over for your children, do not leave any white space. Fill it in as much as you can. Make double columns. Put everything in there that they've done. So you really need to start in ninth grade writing everything down, because you'll forget. Or you'll pull out a ribbon and go, oh, I forgot they won this. But you need to have all of that included on the back side of their transcript. So to graduate again from high school, they might just need one credit of PE, which would be two full years of PE. And then to get into college, they're going to need 8 to 9 elective credits. Now, these are also going to include not just sports and PE, but you're going to have fine arts included in that as well. So include all that on the front of the transcript with a grade.
Oh, that's great. Now, I've heard sometimes people will put health with PE and then be able to put it as a full credit, or would you put health as a separate half credit?
I'll put health as a separate half credit, because to me, when you do athletics and sports, that's physical activity, and the health credit is more of an academic core class.
Well, that would make sense. Now, you talked about how to present that on a homeschool student's transcript. How many hours typically do a child do in sports over that course of the year? Is it like 120 or?
75 hours. Okay. 75 hours would get them a half a credit. Now you need to understand that if they were in a public or private school, that everything they do, driving to the games, driving to practices, like on the bus with the school, if they do any kind of fundraising like a car wash, all that counts towards the hours. So you need to be thinking about that too. I know everybody gets to the field and they go, okay, we're here for 2 hours, or they get to the court, okay, we're here for 2 hours, and they only count those 2 hours, but that's not exactly how they do it when they're in school. So if your kids are, you know, practicing for basketball and they're out in the driveway shooting baskets for 20 or 30 minutes, you can count that. You can say, well, they've practiced for, you know, 3 days, so they practice another hour. So you'd be surprised at how fast those 75 hours will add up for you.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. I had no idea that, you know, washing a car and some of these other things could also be part of those hours. So we have just a little bit of time left. So can you talk a little bit about sponsors, maybe how you develop the coaches with the money that you're given through those sponsors, and then how listeners can either participate or support the Colorado Springs?
Okay, that's a lot in that question.
Okay.
So we do have donors and sponsors in the league. Donors just give money with no strings attached. They don't really want anything in return. But a sponsor would get their logo and their name on our t-shirts, because we do have sponsors that will do that, and they give a certain amount of money. We also have some sponsors who will help us with coach clinics. So they're going to run coach clinics for different sports so that the coaches actually have the knowledge and some skills and drills and things that they can run with the kids. So they're not just out there going, I have no idea what I'm doing. So we're trying really hard to get more training for the coaches. And so some of our sponsors are going to do that. And we try to keep, like I said, the cost down so that families can afford it. But if a family still feels like they can't afford it, I can offer them other ways that they can help. Or we do have a benevolent fund where we'll just outright cover the costs for their children to play. And to get in touch with the league, we have a webpage, and it's cshsl.org. So that's Colorado Springs Homeschool Sports League, cshsl.org. There's going to be information on the page for the current sport. There'll be, we use Team Snap for registration, so there'll be an active registration link for whatever sport is going on. If there is no active registration link, it means that the sport is full or we're not taking signups for anything at that time. We do have a limited number of spots. I think people think, oh, registration opens and it'll be open until I want to play. But as soon, like right now we're doing swim team, as soon as those 30 roster spots are full, which I think they're full right now, it'll automatically close. The system that we use is just closes, and then people go, wait a minute, I'm on a wait list. So it's not open indefinitely. So I might open registration and it might be 6 weeks before that sport starts. But once it's full, it could be full in 15 days, then you're on a wait list. So we are a popular organization, and we have 350 children out there playing sports and soccer on Saturday morning. And you add up the parents and grandparents and other people that are there watching, there's probably 600-700 people out there at Goose Gossage on Saturday morning. It's packed. There's no place to park. I mean, we are a big organization. One of your other people that you've had on was there on Saturday, and she was floored at how professional and everything looked. She was thinking, wow, I didn't have anything like this when we were doing it. So we do try to present and have the volunteers and everybody trained and ready to go. If you would like to check out our Facebook page, again, that's Colorado Springs Homeschool Sports League, and all donations are tax deductible. And if you're interested in that, write info@cshsl.org with any questions, and we can link you up with our treasurer.
Sounds wonderful. Barb, thank you for sharing the benefits of sports and how homeschooling families can incorporate sports in their homeschool. And that important question, how to present that sports on a high school transcript. This is Yvonne Strawn, today's host on the Huntington Way Show, where we support you in educating your kids. Thank you for joining us.